for our Bible meditation this afternoon. I'm going to, in a sense, continue where I left off last week with Randy Alcorn's meditation on what the new Jerusalem will be like. I began by saying that he reflects on the question of whether things are literal when it speaks of a new Jerusalem with a city, walls, gates, or are things symbolic. And what I encouraged you to see is that there may be an element of both that is at work in the words of Revelation and other places where it describes the new Jerusalem. It's not a question that we can answer straight out, that every time is literal, every time is symbolic, or there's some percentage somewhere in there. It's instead what we found just with our looking at walls and gates was that there is something symbolic that seems to obviously be going on in some of the descriptions about the New Jerusalem and its size and the descriptions of it, but that those symbolic things don't necessarily mean that there isn't a literal city that has some of these features. So we looked at a couple of the features last week, and I'd like to just pick up a couple of other of the features. And Alcorn describes more. You can read more about that in his book. But I've chosen out just several other places that I think will be an encouragement for you to think about both the symbols as well as the literal nature of the New Jerusalem and what this will be like. So there are two features that I want to focus on especially. One of them is a river and one of them is a tree. And my class talked about those today, right? So I'm going to quiz my Sunday school class today. There was a river and a tree in the beginning of the Bible and in the end of the Bible. So where was the river and the tree in the beginning of the Bible? Uh-huh. And there were actually more than one special tree in the Garden of Eden. What were the two trees that were in the Garden of Eden?
The tree of knowledge and the tree of life.
Very good. Which of those trees is found in the book of Revelation?
The tree of life.
Yeah, that's right. And is there a river in heaven as well? And what was the name given to that river? Yep, the River of Life. And what was the name given to the place that we found in Revelation? Do you remember that?
New Jerusalem?
It is the New Jerusalem, that's the city, but earlier in Revelation it was called the, starts with a P.
Paradise?
Yes, good job. The Paradise of God is what it's called. Excellent job. Turn to Revelation 22. Joseph, do you have a question?
Yeah, I know. My question was about the laws of good and evil.
What's your question?
I think I remember it.
do you have a catechism question?
Yeah.
What special act of providence did God exercise toward man in the state wherein he was created? When God
created man, he entered a covenant of life with him.
Upon condition of perfect
obedience.
Forbidding
him to eat of the tree, the knowledge of good and evil upon pain of death.
Very good. Yeah. That has to do with this afternoon as well as the sermon this morning, doesn't it? Because of the covenant of life, the condition of perfect obedience, the reward of life, and the threatenings of death. Revelation 22, verses 1 and 2 say this: "And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its street and on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations." Given what we talked about last week and already this week, I want to work with you to talk about some of the symbolism that is has to do with a river and water, and but then remember the literal aspect of that, and on both of these issues. So, what's so significant about water? What you can just call out? What are some things that are necessary about water?
It's essential for all life.
Essential for life. Good.
Well, water is equated to the blood and the spirit in 1 John 5.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Very good. If you don't have water, what happens?
You die.
Yeah. It's absolutely essential for our lives. We have to have water to survive. We use water for cleansing. It's important for that. Water is also very beautiful. Yes, Renee?
We have a lot of money that we spend on poor. I did a well.
Did you help them have a well?
Water.
Mm-hmm.
A water filter.
Imagine if instead of going to your faucet and turning on water, you had to go out in the street when it rained and scoop up water out of the muddy water ditch, out of the gutter. And that's how some people live, and so it's a very good thing to provide a well or clean water for those living in conditions like that. It also shows how important water is for us. In heaven, much like in the Garden of Eden, there is the River of Life. It's not called the River of Life in the Garden of Eden, but in Paradise, the River of Life is located there. What's the source of the river? Test your knowledge of Revelation.
God.
It is, yes. So the water flows directly from Christ, from his throne, and then seemingly runs down the main thoroughfare of the city of God and disperses out into every region of the city. Which again, just follow the significance here. That's this, the free access to this water that is had, that it's easily accessible, and every area of that city is well supplied.
Was this vision of the river? Was this essentially the same vision that Ezekiel saw in 43:9?
I tend to think so. There are some very strong similarities because in his case, the water came from the temple, which would be we know that the temple was a type of the actual throne room of God and of his worship. And then it does flow out and gets deeper and deeper as it goes on and supplies the needs of the nations. And so that's another good place to look at a description of that river. Again, taking from the literal to the symbolic, just the significance of our dependence upon Christ for life. And of the access that we have to him, and that it's an access that every single citizen of the New Jerusalem has this ease of access to Christ. It isn't far away, it isn't removed, it isn't barred up somehow or bottled up somehow only to be let out for certain individuals. We have a freedom of access to our life in Christ. Those symbolic things are really wonderful to think about and to imagine how the joys of new life are to be enjoyed in heaven. But even as I say, these are symbolic of life. Let's not rule out the fact that it can also be a literal river that is there. In the same way, let's think about the tree of life. Revelation 2:7 says that the tree of life is currently in paradise, the paradise of God. That's the verse that our class looked at earlier. But then the rest of Revelation says that heaven descends and heaven and earth are united, and the new heavens and the new earth are part of our new home in eternity. In Eden, the tree seems to be a source of ongoing eternal physical life. And because of sin, God removed man from access to that tree of life. In eternity, though, it's very clear that man will once more have access to the tree of life and a freedom of access that is incredible. It says the tree grows on both sides of the river. I remember when I first read that, I tried to picture in my mind some type of tree that somehow arches over this great river and has roots that go down on either side. But as I've read a little more about this, and Alcorn also points this out, that Hendrickson does as well in his book More Than Conquerors, he says that the word tree can also be looked at as the word forest. A forest is singular, but in that forest there are many trees. And a forest, you can easily think of a forest being on either side of a river and having trees that bear their fruit in season, the 12 types of fruit. So this is a quote by Hendrickson that I thought was very good. The term tree of life is collective, just like avenue and river. The idea is not that there's just one single tree. No, there's an entire park. Whole rows of trees alongside the river. Hence, between the river and the avenue. And this is true with respect to all the avenues of the city. Hence, the city is just full of parks. Observe, therefore, this wonderful truth. The city is full of the river of life. It is also full of parks containing trees of life. These trees, moreover, are full of fruits. Food is significant of life as well. We need food to sustain us. It also says the leaves of the tree are for the healings of the nation. The figurative side of that is suggestive of how God is the source of healing of strife once for all. He brings us peace with Him, that is a peace that cannot be broken. But there's still a literal side to that as well. Will we still need sustenance in heaven? It seems like we will. It describes feasts in heaven and trees that provide fruit, and that fruit is there for a reason as well. There's food, there's sustenance. Even that has some symbolism to it as well. But I think it's right to think of these trees as sustaining spiritually, but also speaking to the supply of sustenance physically that we will that God will supply all of our needs physically as well. These questions and this type of approach you can use to talk about the pearls in the streets and walls and towers and the golden streets. You can use it to talk about the inhabitants of the New Jerusalem and the mountains and the ecology and the design. But I'll leave those in your hand because I think it's a good exercise to think about what Revelation speaks of and to say, what are these things here reminding us of? How do they speak of our spiritual life and our physical life? I'll just close by citing that Alcorn makes a Tolkien reference, so I can't pass that up. He asked the question, will the New Jerusalem's beauty be natural or designed? And he says that it appears that there are mountains, but there are also streets. So it seems like there's a meeting of those two. And he talks about the elves who revel in the natural wonder of the world, and the dwarves who make things and make beautiful things, and the bringing together of Legolas and Gimli in The Lord of the Rings to see the friendship that they share. So there's your Tolkien reference for the day, and you can meditate on that as well as Revelation 22 and the New Jerusalem. Any questions?
The original Christian Statesman came out in 1867 when I was at the seminary 7 years ago. They've got all those original copies there. And for the first few years, under the Christian Statesman, it would have, "And the leaves of the trees were given for the healing of the nations." Mm. That was their subscript that they went by, which I thought was interesting that they used that verse.
I was just looking through some of the versions on my app, and there was these one English translation that was using the plural form for trees, and another one which used the term wood.
Mm-hmm. And wood would have that plural idea as well, a plural and singular idea, like forest. Great. Well, thank you very much. You're dismissed.